Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. And we got a lot to get into today, including some more compliments that are going to go the way of Scottie Scheffler after just a dominant performance at the Players' Championship, and how well he did and how well he seems to be on a great course heading for the Masters. Before that, he'll play at the WGC in Austin, defend there as well, and just a heck of a Tiger-like run that Scottie Scheffler's been on for the last year and a half. Our good friend Steve Johnson's going to be joining us here in just a little bit to talk about all things golf and maybe a few things that aren't golf. We got the March Madness situation happening too, so maybe Stevie's got something about to say about that. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. Frank, speaking of basketball, you guys have a new basketball coach, Chris Beard,
at Ole Miss. Yes. So, but speaking of people who are not happy,
yes.
Let's get. You know, we should get Steve in because I have something to say about the final or the March Madness junk.
Okay. Well, here he is, Steve Johnson. He's a director of instruction, new position, director of instruction at Vaquero Club in Westlake, one of the best golf clubs anywhere in Texas, certainly in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Steve joins us. How you doing, Stevie Ray?
I'm doing great, guys. I just cannot hold down a job. That's it.
Yeah, that's always the way it works.
Glad I know somebody at a fancy country club. We're coming to play golf. We're going to be like the Blues Brothers coming into the restaurant, remember, in the scene? We're getting the band back together. How much for the whole deal? That'll be Tim and I.
I mean, it's very no one's said anything, and it's a great place. Vaquero is perhaps. Yes. I mean, I've been at clubs all over the country. It's perhaps one of the nicest venues I've ever been to. I mean, it doesn't have the history of like an Oakmont or anything, but they're spending tons of money on the newest, latest golf technology for the golf course, guys. They've got you've heard of the Sub-Air that they use Augusta National made famous. They put the pipes underneath the greens, and they can blow hot or cool air to keep the greens at the best temperature. Well, Vaquero has stepped it up. There's a couple other courses that have already done it. Instead of with air, they're doing it with water. It's hydronics. And so I'm seeing that they're constructing the greens right now, and you can see it's like a heated floor in your bathroom. They've got little pipes that go every 3 or 4 inches subsurface the green, and that water circulates through there and keeps the soil temperature the perfect growing conditions.
At hydronics, they're probably drilling geothermal wells to support that. I'm on the board of a company, by the way. I know hydronics and what they do with heating and subheating floors and parking lots, and it's really cool technology, guys. It's unbelievable. And it won't dry out the greens as quickly either.
It's expensive.
Yes, it is.
Super expensive.
Yes, it is. So. Yeah, it's cool stuff.
They're rerouting the holes. Hey, Tim, have you heard of a golf course designer named Andrew Green?
No, I have not.
he's probably one of the more famous. Probably one of the more famous designers, construction guys that you've never heard of. He's done Marion. He's done Oakland Hills. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He's another new young Gil Hans coming along, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy how these guys just pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it turns out to be a pretty good gig, right? I mean, it was where guys would redo your golf course, and unless they happened to be one of the five, or they certainly were Nicholas or had a name, you didn't know who these designers were. Now they're like celebrities, you know? I mean, maybe Pete Dye started all that, but the people who do this get paid really well to do it, and you're right. They're coming out of the woodwork sometimes. I see why. I mean, it's a pretty high-paying, sweet job. And
you've got to get the job, though. That's the only thing. There's one golf course, and you've got the Fazios, the Dyes, all of the guys going for it, the Gil Hanses, they're Crenshaw. All going for the same jobs. Andrew Green, he's going to be one of the next he's an up and comer.
He's redoing your course there, Vaquero, so he'll be down for the next year or so.
So he's doing the hydronics, right?
He's doing everything. He's in charge of everything. They're rerouting a few holes, they're redesigning the greens. They're going to make it more. Now, Vaquero is it's a member-owned club, 350 families. A lot of them live there on the property. So they want to make a course that's it's challenging for the better players. They've got a lot of really good players there, but they want to make it fun for the families to play too. They had before they had a lot of false fronts on the greens where the ball would hit the green and roll back 40 yards, you know? So
it was Fazio originally, right? Fazio did Vaccaro to begin with. Right. Right.
Right.
20 years ago or whatever it was. And
now I'm not blaming it on Fazio because the architects follow what the ownership wants to see. Like, you know, like PGA West, Pete Dye was told, "Hey, I want you to build the hardest course in the world." And at the time he did. So
how long will your course be under reconstruction?
It will be open in October.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be fun. The driving range is open right now. It's one of the best driving ranges. Trip Keeney, a buddy of mine, he was on the board there, and Andrew Green designed the practice range. And Tim, I got to take you out there, Tim. It is unbelievable.
Whoa. I'm going to go check it out.
Well, Tim has a co-host.
It's going to be really nice. So you're going to have to come for, if you come for Colonial.
I'm coming for Colonial this year.
Well, it won't quite be ready, the course, but you'll be able to see the driving range.
Love to see it. Yeah.
And in fact, this year on the driving range, they have like 14 real greens out there on the driving range. And they're going to have a Masters 9-hole tournament on the week of the Masters, the first week in April. So,
Vaccaro's been around, like I said, probably about 20 years now or so, right? Right, Steve? Something like that?
Yes,
and
right.
When it first was being built, it was kind of a bad economy. I remember that because I think it was going up the same time as Fazio was doing Dallas National, two very high-end courses. People kind of go, man, are you going to get members? You're kind of kidding that this is going to happen. I think it was dot-com bubble time or something, right? So everybody's watching every dollar. And sure enough, both of them have been very, very successful and have done a great job. So I guess it shows sometimes the economy doesn't always affect certain people. So they built it, and Vaccaro is kind of rolling hills. Westlake, for people that don't know, is just a bit north of Fort Worth and on the western side of Dallas-Fort Worth and the western side of the DFW airport. And just beautiful rolling hills. But it's a discovery land, was when they built it. And so they put in all these gorgeous houses. If you know any discovery land properties, they're just amazing properties, and money's no object. And there's, you know, $5 million houses all around the golf course. So it's just and Justin Leonard's lived there. I remember Hank used to live there a long, long time ago, Haney. A lot of guys, the Jonas Brothers lived out there.
There goes the neighborhood.
So it's a really
just,
sweet
place.
Well,
you told me who just bought.
I did.
Tim Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes just got a house out there too. So, yeah, it's a pretty good hood to be living in for sure. And the golf course is, matter of fact, first time I went there, Steve, and we'll get on to Scottie Scheffler. First time I went there, I was practicing. I think I was actually going to be playing with Hank. But a guy named Mike Abbott was the director of golf. He came from the Four Seasons, went over there.
One of the best in the country, right?
Yeah, you've known Mike forever and ever. And so I'm just practicing. And the guy comes over, like a valet, and he says, "Mr. Matthews, yeah, I noticed that when you pulled up, you valeted my car." He says, I noticed that your car was low on gas. Would you like me to go fill it up for you?" And I said, "Well, yes, young man."
You told him on his credit card, right?
He goes and fills it up. And nobody came and asked me for a dime. Now, the club is just open. It had a temporary clubhouse. I'm sure they were trying to entice members and things like that. But it's like they filled my car up, washed my car, so that when I came back, I had a filled up brand new
VW Bug
car sitting right there. Yeah, it's a different car, but it was right there. So it's a great experience. I mean, it's wonderful. And so who's the director of golf there, Steve, by the way, speaking of
Keeney? The director of golf is Hank Keeney.
Hank Keeney. Remember him, Frank?
PGA
player.
He was a huge
long drive
PGA
guy.
PGA tour guy, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, did you teach him at one time?
Well, I mean, I was part of the team that helped him. All the Keeney kids.
Yeah.
And
Frank, his brother,
Henry
Tripp,
has a distinction. Well, go ahead,
Steve. I was just going to say, Tripp is the guy, Frank, that Tiger came from three down with three holes to play at the U.S. Open. U.S. Amateur.
Remember,
he's the one that he came back from three down with three to play and beat him and went in extra holes. That was Tripp Keeney. That's his brother. Hank, and he never went pro, but he's been an amazing amateur. Their sister, Kelly Keeney, won a U.S. women's amateur and played on the LPGA Tour for a long time. And Hank Keeney won the men's U.S. amateur. They had three kids in the family, all well, in Tripp's case, within a shot of winning three U.S. Opens, U.S. amateurs of those three kids.
That's
just a phenomenal golf family. Right. Sorry, wow. Steve, go ahead. Yeah. What were you going to say?
So, I mean, he has a distinction that I mean, I worked for Hank Haney for 30-something years. Now I'm working for Hank Keeney. So,
very confusing.
I mean, yeah, oh, man. So, you know, when Hank was growing up as a junior player, we would always call him Henry because it was just too confusing. Well, who are you talking about? Hank Haney, Hank Keeney?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was always Henry. So when I went over to Vaquero, I referred to him as Henry, which I always had. And everyone said, who are you talking about?
Who are you about talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to explain it to him.
Congratulations, but, Steve. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm probably getting fired now because I'm late, but that's
no.
okay.
Yeah, but you're getting
Just tell them you were on the show promoting.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
As if they need more members. they're full, right?
They're waiting for Tim to bring his car back to get it washed and filled up.
They're waiting for my credit card.
He has a new car, but we won't go there.
I'm playing a Discovery Land course down in Austin area at the end of the month, Steve, at a place called Driftwood.
Man.
Yeah.
It's always a treat. The Discovery Land properties, man, they are always a treat.
They really are. They really know how to do things there. So, all right, let's go back a little bit, Steve. Scotty.
Okay.
At Players Championship,
man.
A very tough course, extremely difficult field. The wind swirls, everything we all know about the Players Championship. And I'm not saying he made it look easy, but he kind of turned a close race into a runaway and even finishes with a nice, beautiful par after hitting into the pine straw or in the needles on 18. He's just in a phenomenal, almost Tiger-like state right now, isn't he?
He is. One big difference. He has, what do they call, his veins are cold. He's got ice in his veins. That's what I'm trying to say.
There you go.
He's got nothing. Nothing seems to bother him. And,
doesn't.
He's playing in the last round with Minwoo Lee, who, I mean, is a little bit over his head. A lot of pressure, a lot of, playing for a lot of money, playing for his status on the tour the following year. And he shoots four over, but it didn't seem to bother Scottie Scheffler, who knew, said he was looking at the leaderboard the whole time. It guys playing well, Tyrrell Hatton, and who else played well? Victor Hovland played well.
Homa
played well. Yeah. Even Hideki Matsuyama.
I thought he was on a tear. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great final round of the Players Championship, and it was exciting. The entire round was exciting.
Well, Frank, you noticed
too that the march. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, Frank and Steve too. You noticed that when he kind of had it in his pocket, but he still did get 17, and they always kind of, and I think sometimes over dramatize it, but 17 certainly can cause problems at 125 yards for all of these guys. And you notice they got a real tight shot of his eyes looking at the group in front of him while he was on the green at 16 going, okay, I got a five-shot lead, but he's looking over going, and the two guys in front of him just hit in the water. I'm trying to remember who they were.
Both of them rinsed it, yeah.
But two guys hit in the water, and you just got to know he's kind of going, oh, God, really? And so getting through that hole, and he hit a great shot, and at that point I think it was just a foregone conclusion he was going to win this thing. But it is interesting to see how everybody gets kind of psyched out by 17. Have you played that course, Sawgrass there, Steve, and you've played 17?
I haven't played it, but I've walked it many times, and it is intimidating. When you get up on that tee, holy man, it's a big green, but it doesn't look like a big green, Tim, because about a third of it is hidden behind the bunker. And there's a big slope right in the middle of the green coming back toward the front of the green. So the placements that are back left and back right are very intimidating. The ones up front where they made the hole-in-ones. I think there were two hole-in-ones this week. The ball feeds right to the hole. You still got to hit the shot, but what a fun hole. Randall Chambly was kind of criticizing it. He said, you know, that hole, if you make a mistake, you don't have any time to make up for it. Well, you know, it's the 17th hole. Obviously, you only have one more hole left.
Yeah.
I don't think that hole would get the acclaim that it's gotten if it was like the third or fourth hole on the golf course.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, because it can end some. I mean, first, and I'm trying to remember if it was Taylor Montgomery, maybe. Did he hit two balls in there? I mean, and I guess every year is probably true. and Frankie, maybe you remember the leaderboard better than I do, but it costs some of these guys $1 million what they do on 17. Yeah. You know, and I'm kind of round figuring.
Especially now with 4.5 first.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you drop out of like a tie for fourth, it could be $1 million, and you finish in a tie for 17th, and you win 250. It's a big, it could be one hole.
Steve knows more about golf course design than I, but I will tell you.
I don't.
Well, since they put those, the spectators, the bleachers and the hospitality behind 17, it's made a world of difference because it funnels the wind coming down 18, which runs almost parallel to 17, and funnels it over the top and down. So there's a huge downdraft when the wind's coming out of that direction. On that hole. It didn't used to be tricky. That way. Yeah.
No, it is tricky. It's just like it is 16 at Waste Management. You know, when you enclose a hole like that and you've got a lot of people and you've got, you know, hot air and cold air and all that breezes, it's really hard to tell.
Well, they did show the flags, different flag at the ground level where the guys are standing, which explains why a lot of them hit the wrong club. And you're kind of going, wow, they're pros. How do they miss that much? There was a difference of almost 15-mile-an-hour winds from the ground, which is only 4 or 5 miles. Up top, where the ball's finally going to go when you hit your wedge shot or whatever, it was like 18-mile-an-hour winds, and sometimes in different directions.
I love it when you see a guy walk up on 17 and just he picks up a little bit of grass and throws it in the air. Like,
yeah.
Bud, that's not going to give you anything. You know,
you got to throw it higher than that.
Yeah, you better throw it way high. It better be like a rocket launch for you to understand what that wind's doing up there. Because it was going dead across them at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And at ground level, it was dead into them at like 2 to 3 to 5.
Yeah, like nothing at all. So you kind of.
But that doesn't matter dead at ground level. It's all what gets up above those spectator stands and hospitality.
So Scheffler is kind of phenomenal right now. And you certainly were around Tiger. Well, I was just going to make a comparison. You were around Tiger during a lot of his great runs and whatnot. Obviously, there are differences, and I'm not quite saying he's ready to replace Tiger in the history books or anything, but is there any similarity as far as just the way he plays, the calmness, the feeling that he can always win? I mean, Scotty seems so confident, not cocky, but confident that he's got a different attitude. I mean, he does smile while he's playing. Tiger always seemed like he had a scowl on his face to beat everybody. But as far as domination, this is 6 wins in the last 27 events. He's had, in the last 27 events, he's had 10 top 10s. Out of 27 events, I mean, he's right there in almost every tournament he plays in.
Yeah, I mean, he is a special player. I really didn't see it. I didn't know much about him when he came out, Tim. And there's a couple things. Let me give you some insights about Scottie Scheffler. The guys that are part of his team, and one of his trainer, a guy by the name of Troy Van Beezen, who trains. He is the trainer to the champions. He's Jordan Spieth's
trainer. Yeah, we have Troy
trainer.
On the show a lot of times.
He's Ricky Fowler's trainer. He's Zach Johnson's trainer. When you watch Tiger play in an event, he'll be out there stretching Tiger. I mean, this guy, even from day one, he says, "You, Steve, watch this kid. This kid is going to." And this was when Scotty hadn't won yet, and he had, you know, had been up toward the top. You think, oh, like, I've seen this before. You know, guys coming out real strong and then kind of fizzling out because their game isn't quite there. I'm telling you what, man, this kid, he's got the length. He's got the putting, he has the imagination, and he has the ice in the veins. The no moment seems to be too big for him, at least not yet. My God, the guy won the Masters last year. He's the defending champion at the Masters.
Didn't he four-putt, Frank, last week?
Yes, he did at the Masters.
To win?
He did.
He still won by 3 or something, but he four-putted. Yeah. It was kind of like he was laughing, that he's just kind of like, dink, 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 get it closer to the hole. Yeah. And he laughed about it too. He seems to have. Randy Smith. Give a lot of credit, Randy Smith.
Yes,
has done a great job with him and has been his coach since he was 6-7 years old. Yeah. And
remember
at the Masters now.
Remember, Randy told the story on this show about Scotty when he was young. He was the shortest driver in the group for years and years. So he continually worked on his mid irons and short irons just all the time. Mm-hmm. Worked on that part of his game constantly. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, he's out there just pulling a driver on holes nobody pulls a driver on at TPC Sawgrass and just stripes it. You know, unbelievable.
There's a difference, too. I'm kind of curious about that, Steve, because 18 becomes a very – if it's a tight race, it wasn't this year. But if it's tight, 18 becomes a very scary driving hole at the Players. And oftentimes guys may not want to take out a driver, but Scotty did, and I think Kim did, that he was playing. A lot of guys do nowadays. Is there a difference today? And Azinger was not doing the announcing, basically saying nobody in his era, which was not that long ago, would ever hit driver on that hole if they could in any way help having to not hit driver. They're all hitting a long iron or hitting three wood. They just wanted to find a fairway. Is it completely different now where guys are like, I'll hit it and go find it, even if it's in the straw? It was for Scotty. He still found a way to par the hole. Just a different attitude now rather than the layup. Does it seem like there's a lot of layup mentality in players today?
There's not, but the game is different now too. I mean, Tim, I mean, I can remember, and I'm sure all three of us can remember back with the Woods and the old Bellotta balls.
Yeah.
They curved a lot.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons that that players didn't play the long clubs, because they curved even more. So now obviously the irrigation systems and all that have gotten a lot better, and they didn't get the roll that they used to get at, on those golf courses either. But Vijay Singh complained about the fact that you can't curve this ball anymore. Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but yeah. One of the things that is true, that you can't curve it as much sure. unintentionally, like you could back in the day with the Woods and the Bellotta balls and all that. You know, some guys have so much confidence in the club that driver, and obviously he does. Now, one thing we can learn from Scottie Scheffler, he was leading. I think Minwoo Lee had already had his blow up, and on the 14th hole, Scottie hit it 280 yards into over there by the cart path, way to the right. And this is a great lesson we can learn. Anyone, regardless of what level of golfer you are, you can learn from. He hit a bad shot. His next shot, all he did was play it out into the fairway where a good drive would have been. He played up, hit it on the green, and two-putted. So my point is, his bad shot only cost him one shot. He wasn't trying to hit, after a bad shot, a miracle shot to make up for that bad shot. He took
the punishment.
What was given to him. Yeah, he took what was given. And he says, you know, I'm just going to put it out there in the fairway. I'm going to knock it up there, hopefully make a putt. If not, it only cost me one shot.
But that's Frank, isn't it? It's like one of the hardest things that any of us, and none of us are Scotty Scheffler, but any of us are doing when we're playing in your group or just playing by, is to hit a sideways shot 50 yards. You're like, oh, just find a little window. Just give me a little something, because you just have a hard time thinking that I've got to take one. I just got to take one. But that's smart golf, I guess.
Not really. No, I don't do that, because my bad shots are really bad.
Really?
You really
see a little
bad.
Window?
No.
The tree,
I gave up that window a long
creek.
Time ago. No. No.
Frank is under the assumption
water.
That the trees are 90% air.
Yeah, wrong.
90% air. Yeah. So
that's
Billy
so
Casper
true.
Used to say, if trees are 90% air, but so is chicken wire, and you're never going to hit a ball through chicken wire. So just get it back out in the fairway. Get it in the fairway and take your medicine.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, it's hard to do as an amateur. You say, well, I can hit a hero shot here.
Well, even if I could curve it a little bit instead of going sideways or even backwards, sometimes you have to. You're like, I can just kind of hit the, and at least I'm going to advance it 50 yards that way. And then you hit the tree and it goes, drops straight down, and you hit the ball 10 yards. It's like, oh my God, you can't. By the way, Minwoo Lee, and it makes me feel good. It's kind of like when the guys play the British Open. We talk about it all the time, Frank, and the bad weather and what happens and makes you feel like a normal golfer.
Uh-huh.
He hit one shot. You guys see this out of the, it's not straw, but whatever it is underneath the wood chips, I guess. Remember, he hit that one. I can't remember what hole. Maybe it was on 12, 13.
It's pine straw. It's pine straw everywhere there. Okay. Yeah.
And it went like 15 yards.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
He topped it. Yeah.
And he topped it out of there?
Yeah.
You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
Top guys.
You know, I felt bad for his sister and his family watching from Perth. They were all, you know, pulling for him, and they had interviewed his sister earlier, who's a champion golfer. I mean, big-time champion golfer. And she said, I'm more nervous watching my brother than I am when I'm playing, period.
Yeah, I can't control anything.
I felt for him. He's great. Is that, whose dogs are barking? Is that mine?
No, that's they're filling up. They're filling up some range balls here at the golf range.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, my dog's barking in the background. Sorry about that. No, my dog's barking too. So, yeah. Anyway, no, it was a great tournament. That golf course is, you know, like I say, I lived there 14 years. That was home course, and it's you can play it if you're smart and don't try to overpower it as an amateur. Yeah. If you get out there and try to overpower it, you're dead meat. You'll shoot 100 plus.
Right.
We'll just do it.
Before I let you go, Steve, I know you're busy. Well, we've got the Dell coming up, which is, again, Scotty defending his championship there. Then we've got the Masters just right around the corner and coming up next month. Between that, this week, we've got the Valspar. So now we're talking again about the designated events, not designated events. How do you sit with all that stuff? Because Valspar, while it will have at least Spieth and JT are playing in it, but not a lot of other strong players as far as the field goes, because they're waiting for the Dell match play and they'll all be there and they're waiting for the Masters coming up. How are you feeling about the way the schedule is going to play out and the way they are now designating and the money and the players, therefore the best players follow the money. The money's going to these designated events, not so much.
Right.
What's going to happen to Valspar and Honda and maybe down the road Colonial and some others that aren't, as of right now, designated events?
You know, I mean, because they're going to have full FedEx points, and it's all about FedEx points. It's not really about, I mean, for you and me, it's about the cash. But for the players, it's about the FedEx points. As long as these players are playing the Valspar and the Byron Nelson in tournaments that are not featured events with full FedEx points, I mean, it's just more opportunities for them to play and to get their world ranking points up, to get to get status on the tour and all that, or to improve their status to the top 50. I think you got to, at the end of the day, you got to thank Phil Mickelson, because he's the guy that, he's the guy that was the squeaky wheel.
I agree.
That got the ball rolling, and these guys owe him a steak dinner, I think.
And then he took a lot of heat for it too, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He still is taking heat.
Well, I mean, now he can't play in the champions, PGA Tour champions. He's barred from the league. He's suspended indefinitely. I mean, he's taken a huge hit for that. And the players, you know, although they criticized, a lot of them criticized the LIV. The LIV is the reason that it's amazing how Jay Monahan just found that money.
That's what I'm saying. Under a rock somewhere.
I think some of the sponsors were. They were in, well, how do I say this nicely? They're giving more money now, okay? Sponsors are putting up a lot more money.
But somebody had to ask them to do it. They were going to do it.
Yeah. It was a little strong arm.
Monahan said, I forgot. I knew I forgot to ask something.
Yeah.
I knew I forgot to ask
one last thing in this conference.
Remember that $8 million you were giving us? We now need 20.
Yeah. Could you guys all double what you're paying now for sponsorship?
Your thought, $4.5 million for first place in the Players' Championship.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. You know what? I hear Tiger Woods is going to start sponsoring. Tiger Woods is going to start sponsoring events.
Not if he has to pay off.
He's going to sponsor his girlfriend and any other.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a mess. He can't stay out of the bad news.
He can't.
He just can't.
Just for my 2 cents on that, I don't know how you don't see that hailstorm coming at you and you don't just avoid it by going, all right, 6 years, maybe we had a bad breakup, whatever might have happened.
Don't date your employees.
Here's X amount of dollars and good luck, best of, and move on your way. Because she was there with his kids and all these other things when he was winning the Masters and he was at the British Open, and she was there through a lot of stuff with him, and she's supporting.
He's thanking her at the Hall of Fame speech. I mean, she was a big part of.
That's what I'm saying. So don't just dump her at the airport. You know, like
something happened, boys, and there are three sides to every story. You know that the truth.
But let's look at history here. Who are we going to go with? I'm going to go with her.
My guess is I don't think she did anything.
So. Yeah, that's my guess too.
She was trying to protect her position, and
she's trying to get the NDA thrown out because she wants to write. She can write a book and make gazillions if she does a book.
Right. He could avoid all that if he just said, you know, he's got, how much does he have? What's your name, Frank?
Billions.
He's got $1 billion. He's got $800 million. He's got enough money. It doesn't matter. Would you not say, you know what? Let's give her $2 million or something, some number.
She wants 30.
On her way, she'll have a, okay, blah, blah, and it's all over with. Now it's going to get dragged and dragged and dragged, and he gets dragged. It's not her. People don't know her very well, don't even know her name. But they know Tiger, and he's going through another one of these off-the-field, off-the-course incidents that he could have avoided. I don't understand. I just don't get how somebody says, that's the way to handle this. Let's take her to the airport on a fake trip, and then when she gets out of the car, we change the locks on the doors, and we show up with an NDA.
That's pretty crappy. Yeah.
Hey, can
that's
you sign this?
That's the way
this?
To handle that?
Can you sign this?
Yeah. Would you mind signing this before I let
sweetie,
you out right
here? Sweetie, we're going on vacation.
The airport? Yeah,
that's too much.
That's the dead giveaway when they ask you to ride in the front seat in the passenger side, and I'll sit in the back in Jersey.
Like
you know,
the Godfather.
How you doing?
Yeah, who's sitting behind me?
I gotta tell you, I don't feel all that much remorse for her though. She knew what she was getting into.
I guess, as did he.
But I mean, if I'm gonna feel sorry for someone, I'm gonna feel sorry for Tiger because. He has a lot of issues. Here's why, Tim, and you may not agree with me. Here's why. This guy, none of us have lived in his shoes. Now, there's a lot of great things that happen because you're Tiger Woods, but his time is never his own. Everyone's always asking him for something. It's just like the celebrities. Your buddy Mike Madonna's the same way. Hey, you know what? Someone's going to ask me for a loan. Someone's going to ask me to invest in something. Somebody's going to ask me for the most valuable thing, my time. And I don't want to give away any one of those things. I just let me live my life. But he's chosen that path, it's a tough path. I've been very critical of Tiger, but that's a tough path.
It is a tough path, but it's chosen, and at the same time, it's a well-paying path. I mean, he's had a very, very nice life, and he's got jets and boats and yachts and mansions and everything. So I'm not saying everything's about money
and 1.5 legs,
but at the same time, he is. It's so many self-inflicted. Problems that he's had in his career that you can't just say, well, it's because he's a human like the rest of us are human. And at some point, aside from winning this and winning that, it's kind of like I keep thinking of the movie Steve Jobs. And was it Michael Fassbender played Steve Jobs? And at one point in the movie, I don't know if Jobs actually said this quote, but it said in the movie, when they were asking him, why are you so screwed up, Steve Jobs? Why do you keep making these mistakes? Why do you not identify with your daughter who you don't even accept and all on and on these personal problems he has. He said, I'm poorly made. And I think there's a truth to that. Well, certainly we are, but I'm saying, I think there's a truth to that, to some genius people, some whatever, they're kind of poorly made that they don't handle things the way they should handle them because they have a different mind than a lot of other people. Having said that, what's most important is, are you a good person? Do you treat people well? I'm not looking at your bank account. I'm not looking at Tiger's wins and stuff. Don't treat people bad. That's all I'm saying. I don't think, no matter how bad the breakup was, you're there 6 years. As you said, she was acknowledged and right next to him through all this stuff. Just be happy, move her on her way so that she's happy and go to the next the next thing down
Stop
the road
it.
For you. You know?
Easy.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the next adventure. You don't have to treat people like that.
It's sad on all fronts. It's sad.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. But it's not going to be over.
You look at history, all of the great kings of past history, their number one thing was they were paranoid that they were going to lose their power.
Yes.
They're paranoid that someone's going to take advantage of them. They're paranoid that, you know,
they still
are. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's.
Look at that family.
Yeah. So, man, I feel for him because the guy has, I mean, he's had three bouts with uncontrollable use of prescription drugs. It's the drug that draws you in. If you take it once, the likelihood of you abusing it is high. The likelihood of you abusing it more than once is astronomical. And he's battling that every day as well.
Yeah.
And not to victory all the time either. You know, I mean, he has to have a really strong support group, which I don't know if he does or not. The big support group that he did have is all gone.
He runs his own life.
Steve Williams, Elon.
I don't know if there's any accountability, you know, as far as personal, because we all know how that plays out. Everybody's a yes man at this point. Everybody's on the payroll. Even family are on the payroll. And how many of them are going to rock the boat? And you've seen the treatment sometimes. You're going to be the next one out the door, and nobody wants that. Yeah. They all want to live the life. So, he's not alone. I mean, there'll be another Tiger kind of thing will happen. I'm just saying, when you think about Tiger, all the things that have happened outside of golf is kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like things, the injuries and all that. Yeah, so on and on. All right, Stevie, we appreciate your time. I know
thanks, guys.
Thanks,
it's
buddy.
Your gig and stuff. Again, director of instruction at Vaquero Club. Best of luck, baby, with that. That is so sweet. And I'm going out of town tomorrow, but next week or something, I'll give you a call. I'll come out there and, you know, just kind of give you my 2 cents worth on what I think you should change out there.
Oh, right.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll get the board of directors out there.
Take care, buddy.
Congrats, buddy.
Right,
take care.
Talk to you later, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Steve Johnson, director of instruction at Vaquero Club.
Yeah. There you
go. Good for him. Yeah. It's going to be kind of cool.
You know, we didn't say it when we had Steve on, but also, you know, Tiger, in the pain that he's been in with that leg and ankle, it has to be on something.
Yes.
To take care of it. You're not going to do Advil liquid gels, aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
You go.
I don't think you can just do all natural herbs and things either.
They don't grow in a pot for that pain to go away.
So I think that's part of the problem is he's been in a lot of pain, Frank, I think for 20 years, right?
No, there's no doubt. The back.
Injuries,
the backs,
you know? I mean, go back to Hank's book when they were telling him, stop jumping. You're not a paratrooper, right? Stop jumping out of planes and doing the paratrooping thing that was causing him to hurt his knees.
No, it was thrill-seeking.
Yeah, and so like once you do that, and I was trying to be his dad. So you start doing that. Well, it hurts. I got to get out there. I got to play. So you pop.
He was always a little scrawny kid, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we're not degrading him. We're not denigrating him, I should say. You know, we like Tiger. We all have been around him. It's sad. It's just sad that this has happened. And here we go again. You know, here we go.
When you say that, I mean, I'll qualify for myself. I like him as a golfer. He's fine. I don't. There's a lot of questions about his off the course behavior. That's all I'm saying. And that's not news to anybody. That's anybody who can see that there have been issues. And you kind of thought that maybe with maturity and everything is kind of behind him. And it just seems like you don't need this.
I feel sorry for his kids.
Here he goes. Well, I mean, that's kind of, you don't need that headline again, right? Mm-hmm. Things going on. So anyway.
And I'm sure Mama's had something to say to him about it too.
I guess we won't see him again. I guess he'll be at Masters. Do we know that for sure, Frank?
Yeah, it'll be at Augusta.
He'll be at Augusta? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, here's a dumb question I have for you. If you're Tiger, do you get to pick and choose? I mean, there is certain limits, as we've talked about the designated events, that all these top pros, Spieth and McIlroy and all these guys, have to play in so many events, correct? If you're injured or coming off or whatever, what is Tiger's category? Does he get to only play 4 events a year because he's won so many, or because he's injured, or
because you're
Tiger,
because he's won so many? I mean, I'm sure at some point in time
he's got like a lifetime membership and he can play 5 times instead of 20 times if he chooses to.
Well, after 20 wins, you know, you can do kind of what you want to do.
Okay. So, well, that's what I was asking. I wasn't sure what the rule was. So Phil was kind of in that same category.
Yeah, pretty much.
That Phil could kind of play, doesn't have to play the minimum number, which is
he's playing this
15,
week
18. Yeah,
he's playing this week. In Tucson, they're playing in Tucson. The live events in Tucson. How do you get Tucson out of Tucson?
Yeah, Tucson. I don't know.
Tucson. He's playing out there in Tucson. I am on the edge of hopping a flight again. Here we go. Roger called me. Good friend Roger.
Say you're on the edge. You're on the edge all the time.
I really am. Thinking about going out there, but just with the Masters coming up, and I want to go to, there's a live event in Orlando that I might go instead of Tucson.
Where are they playing at Tucson?
They're playing at Canyon. Oh, man. I wish you hadn't asked me on the air.
That's okay. Well, that's all right. But Tucson.
At a golf course.
Really? It's got greens?
It's not Stone Canyon. Kind of I know that because that's where our friend Danny Medina is. So
Yeah.
But it's another course there. It's not Omni Tucson National. No.
But it's not the one where they had the match? Didn't they have a match in Tucson?
Well, that's Stone Canyon, and they're not playing there.
Stone Canyon?
No, that's Danny Medina's course there. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. No, I can't think of the name of it, darn it.
So they're back in action. By the way, do you keep track of the Netflix documentary?
I have watched the whole thing.
The PGA Tour?
Yes.
What's it called?
Whole thing.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Full Swing.
Full Swing. And they just did one with DJ. So you saw that one.
Yes.
I guess if you've seen them all. And he's, of course, we're talking about the Live Tour, and he's probably the featured guy in the Live Tour, or certainly one of the top 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed to have no regrets, you know, when they're kind of pushing him on it, and what do you think, and what's it going to mean? And he kind of, you know, and that's DJ, right? I mean, he kind of seems to chuckle at everything, and nothing seems to, almost in a different way than Scotty Scheffler, but nothing really seems to faze him.
Well,
that much.
DJ's a different bird. He's just a different breed of cat. I mean, he's different. Yeah. Very.
So he's fine. And they interviewed his wife too, Paulina, and she was like, he made a business decision, a family decision, and this is what's best for the family. And so he'll be playing there, and I recommend watching Full Swing. It's very interesting. Yeah. They got a lot of access, did they not?
Have you watched The Offer?
To these guys. Did I watch the what?
The Offer?
No. What is that?
It's the story of the making of The Godfather.
Oh. Called O-F-F-E-R, The Offer?
The Offer, yeah. Oh. Kind of like forgiveness.
What's that referencing, The Offer? Somebody made an offer that you can't refuse?
Well, it's kind of.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what they're...
I don't want to spoil it. It's fabulous.
Okay,
it's really? Fabulous. It's long.
Is it a movie or a doc?
It's a series of episodes, like but the episodes are long. Okay. But it's good. I just finished it, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's so much TV out there now, isn't there?
There's a lot, yeah.
I'm looking for something, and I swear it's going to be on Walmart TV or something. Does everybody stream? Does everybody have a channel?
YouTube TV, Roku TV, Fubo.
I can't keep up with it. I don't even know who some of these are. You know,
Comcast, and I have everything they have. It's basically, you have to take out a banknote to pay it on a monthly basis. But, of course, we have to have high-speed internet in the home studios that we have, so that costs a lot of money.
It's just weird. I mean,
not high speed like Bill and Tom have, but I'm talking, business high speed internet to do this.
Yeah, it's on Bed Bath and Beyond TV. Everybody's got a.
They're going out of business.
Did you watch the Oscars, by the way? Did you watch the Oscars?
I did watch the Oscars. It was, I had it on in the background. It was a snoozer, real snoozer. It was terrible. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a terrible job.
I didn't think he was very funny either.
He wasn't.
And I do think that we're still in a bit of a coma, if that's the case, from the pandemic, and meaning. That we don't get out as much. We don't. When's the last time you were in a theater? I think I've been in two movies.
I went to see Maverick.
Two or three years. Yeah, I saw Maverick. I saw that and one other, I think, like a year and a half ago.
But the theater I go to here is fabulous. It's big seats and it's wide away from people. Yeah. And so I enjoyed that. But
it's just like, it's not like it used to be, right? I mean, the Oscars, you used to see a lot of these movies. I think I saw Maverick. Of all the other nominated movies, I don't know what else I've seen.
But you get.
So it was different.
Complacent when you watch it. I mean, we all have great big TVs and all that and big media rooms. But to go to the movies and watch it, how it's meant to be seen, it's really incredible. The sound, the surround, the massive screen. I love that.
I don't know how many people have gotten back to it. I mean, I guess some have. Because
spilled my Coke all over the floor. Yeah.
$2 billion. Oh, I haven't seen Avatar.
I don't care for that.
My kind of movie.
No.
But it was nominated. So I'm just saying. And I did see, because it's on, I think, Netflix or something, I did see The Banshee of Inisherin. And that Irish movie. And
was it good?
It's okay. It's no offense to Irish, which I am, or English, or movies, or those. They just kind of move slow, right? I mean, there's just a pace to them that's not Maverick.
Not if it's Monty Python.
think of Maverick, and then think of the opposite of Maverick. There's no none of that. It's all dialogue and a guy.
Clean that microphone, would you?
And a horse and a buggy, and you're like, okay, so you got to, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if you'd like it or not. Hey, let's take a break. We got to wrap some things up, but you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Yeah.
Okay. Steve Johnson is awesome. Thanks for being with us here, Steve. All right, you're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back after this quick timeout.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-259-8642. 800-259-8642. 800-259-8642.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, everybody. Green Chef, a new sponsor to Golf Talk America, is joining us, and I have to tell you, the food is phenomenal. The ease of preparation, the quality of the food, and the multiple recipes. You can choose from 30 recipes weekly. You have the option to mix and match everything in their plans, change things around from vegan one day to keto the next, and customize, even swapping protein in any meal that features chicken, beef, or salmon for USDA-certified organic ground beef, USDA-certified organic chicken, and wild-caught, my favorite, sockeye salmon. You can also add chicken or fish to select vegan and veggie recipes. I mean, so you can swap this stuff around and make it anything you want it to be. You don't have to have a prepackaged, canned, one-size-fits-all meal. That's what's important to me. One size doesn't fit all. And with Green Chef, one size is what you're going to have because the portions are properly put together so that you're not going to overeat. But you'll be full when you finish. The recipes feature organic produce, premium proteins, sustainably sourced ingredients, and the 2023 and the food standards that they've done for 2023 are out of sight. Let me tell you, the other night I was tired. I didn't want to mess with cooking. And I said, well, I'll pull out a Green Chef meal. So I grabbed one of the meals and it was the salmon, slapped it together in just a few minutes, threw it in, cooked it, sat down, ate it. It was incredible. And again, it's so easy to do that it's just ridiculous. So whether you're going for keto or vegan or you just want ease of preparation, we fully recommend Green Chef. Golf Talk America folks use Green Chef. We love it. And our friends are starting to love it too. So what I want you to do is go to greenchef.com/golfer60. That's G-O-L-F-E-R 60. And use code GOLFER60 to get this, 60% off. Plus free shipping. So you got to do it. I'm telling you, it's the number one meal kit for eating well, and we love Green Chef.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. Are you going to play golf today, Frank?
That would be weather. A big N-O.
No? Okay.
Cold.
Is it?
Okay. Overcast. Everything's budding. All my trees are budding. It's beautiful. White. It's just gorgeous. It's going to be 25 tonight. No, 25 again tonight. It's not chilly. Really? It's okay. Cold.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if I wanted this kind of weather, I would have moved to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
I think the Upper Midwest and Boston area, New England. I think they're getting snow and stuff
hammered
today, right?
Getting hammered.
I mean, from like Buffalo over to Bangor, Maine, and
I was
and
talking.
Boston area and stuff.
I was talking to somebody this morning from Bound Resorts, which look them up, B-O-Y-N-E, I think it is. Yeah. There's a golf show in Dallas this week, next week?
Yeah.
You going to go to that?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like every town does a
regional show.
Yeah, they just do a golf show where they have different sponsors and people.
Well, the fellow I talked to, really super guy, heads up their golf up there, is trying to get a setup to go up there this summer. To the Upper Peninsula, flying to Traverse City and play.
You know, I've had friends that have either lived up there or in their past lived up there. People say it's amazing golf up there.
It's amazing. Yeah. It is. Yeah. I've played up there. I've spent time up there. It's amazing, and it's gorgeous up there.
And people don't think about that.
And Traverse City, Delta Airlines has multiple flights into there, and the airport is like flying, and it's fabulous. It's little. It's great. No crowd, no nothing.
We've said this little fun fact on the show before, but it's still worth repeating and still surprising. The most golf courses in any state is Michigan.
Michigan.
Of any state. Not Texas, not Florida, not California, Arizona, Michigan. The places that a lot of people think of golf. No, it's Michigan. It has 800 or over 800 golf courses.
Yeah. I played a great course up there, private, uber
you can't
private
play,
club.
But four or five months a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Invited by a member. Yeah. They called the Kingsley Club.
Yeah,
it was fabulous.
Near Traverse City?
Fabulous. Yeah, Kevin Frisch PR. He invited us up to play that a few years ago. And the secret on 18 is there's a stone wall. It looks like Scotland, right?
Yeah.
And when you
push a rock away and there's some scotch for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's for guests.
Really,
it's for guests, and it's a secret. We blew it now, but...
Is that, it really?
Yeah, it really
I just
is.
Made that up.
It really is. Yes, it's
a bottle of scotch behind a secret
so
wall.
Cool, and everybody takes a slug out of it at the end of
that
their
is,
round.
That is great.
It is so cool, and the golf course is incredible. Although a friend of ours that was playing with us hit his shot into 18 and flew the entire green and the clubhouse and ended up in the parking lot bouncing off cars. Yeah. But anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Speaking of that, aren't you amazed sometimes? I know I am. We're back to talking about the pros and last week at the Players' Championship. And I can't remember the player. It might have been Taylor.
Montgomery.
Did he somehow fly 16?
Yes.
Was he the one that was on the other side? And even the announcers were
other side of the water
I've
behind
never
it.
Seen anybody hit a ball from over there.
Hey, it was a great flop shot. But coming back.
But how do you miss by that much? That's the thought, right? If you've got a club in your hand and you're a pro, this is what you do for a living, how are you 30 yards
you know,
too long?
Every shot's worth $500,000, basically. So,
I mean, but yeah.
Stress,
but still,
pressure, adrenaline.
I guess. It's like, throwing a worse kind of an air ball. But that happens a lot. I mean, you see Spieth hit some terrible shots.
Well, that rough.
He hit in the water on that one hole that he didn't need to be going for the gamble, but he went on a par four, thought it was drivable. Was that 11?
Is he caught a flyer. Par four? Yeah, he caught a flyer is what he caught out of that rough. And that rough is
No, it was a drive. It was a tee shot.
No, not on 16. No.
No, not on 16. I'm talking about Spieth.
Oh, I was talking about Montgomery. Sorry.
Okay. No, when Spieth hit in the water, that was like a drivable. Is it 11 that's drivable?
12.
Par four, 12. And he pulled it to the left, hit it in the water. You know, it's like, so you see these guys that are that great. And I guess they're like all of the rest of us. We're saying how human everybody is. And I guess they are. They miss some shots. Oh, here's the other fact I had. What's the guy's name? McCreevy? Can't remember.
Maverick McNeely?
No, it wasn't McNeely. But there's a guy who went 69, 89. Did you see that?
I did
Thursday,
not.
Friday?
I try not to look at that sort of thing.
He went 69-89. How do you do that?
You play like shit.
20 shots in one day to the next from 69. You're going, okay, it's a pretty good round. And like, you shoot an 89?
Oh, my God.
I don't know how that. I mean, and you look at his scorecard, it was, he started double bogey, triple bogey, bogey. I mean, it was just boxes all over.
Well, that looks like an amateur card at that course.
Oh, it was, 89. There's a lot of amateurs, I'm sure, they're going, I could shoot 89.
Oh, they couldn't.
From the same tees,
guarantee you. Guarantee. Well, from those tees, that course set up the way it's set up, a single digit really handicapper can't break 90.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh. Nope.
No. Well, nope. That guy almost couldn't either.
Nope. I don't think so. That golf course is hard. It's if you play it really, really smart and you play it from the proper tees, when it's not set up like, you know, trying to pray your way out of purgatory.
When I mentioned Spieth, how about Spieth and Hoagie? Two other great stories.
Oh, yeah.
Hoagie thinks he's out of the tournament pretty much and would have been. Two over. Okay. And he did almost the same thing. I think he opened with, 78?
Yeah.
68, something like that. But he was still two over. And he made flight arrangements to come back to Dallas, right? He's a TCU guy.
Yeah.
And they carried over to Saturday, right? Some of the guys didn't finish on Friday, second round. They carried over Luke List on his final hole. Comes down to Luke List. Luke List double bogeys his final hole that changes the cut line from one under to two under.
One to two, yeah.
And Hoagie makes the cut. What's he do the next day? Shoots 62.
Yeah. Course
and then
record.
Comes back with like
course
a 69 record. Or 70. The guy, he made $1.5 million, Frank. Hoagie did. Who was that close without Luke List getting his double bogey to flying home and not making a dime to making $1.5 million.
He ought to send Luke, a couple hundred thousand. And Spieth ought to send his entire paycheck to that poor guy that he hit.
To the Marine.
Yeah.
He hit a guy who happened to be a Marine, obviously unintentionally, and a ball that was going to go in the water on
his. Why would you intentionally hit a Marine?
Yeah, why would you do that? Get a fist back at
you. Hoorah.
And it hits it. Instead of going in the water, it goes back in the fairway. He ends up with an eagle, right? He chips in for an eagle.
Yeah.
And he makes the cut and it goes on. And Spieth won, what did he make, 250 or something like that in a tournament. And he did. He gave a lot of credit. He said, hey, everything from this point on, I owe to that guy. I don't know what else he did. He gave him tickets or passes for the rest of the weekend.
Whippy, help send me a car.
Help him help him get to the Masters. You got to do something for him. But he helped Spieth make $250,000. Yeah. And that tells you what a fine line that game is, isn't it? I mean, seriously, those kind of freaky things happening that another guy that you have no control, if you're Hoagie, have no control as you're on the phone with American Airlines to book your flight. You go, wait a minute, what just happened?
Double
button. Oh, never mind.
Never mind. Yeah, click. Yeah, thank you, American. And I'm going to stick around. And he turns around and sets the course record the next day. Shoots a 62.
Like, pressure. The pressure was off. Oh, that's what he said. The pressure was off. He was just out there having fun, sweet swinging.
Yeah, I guess so, right? That's why you got to look at it.
Yeah.
I should have been home. And instead, why not just throw up a bunch of birdies?
Unbelievable. So, yeah, unbelievable. Guess what I get to do today?
What's that?
Go to the dentist.
I'm not trying to top you, but I went to the dentist yesterday because a crown popped out of my mouth the day before.
You're redoing one of mine today.
It literally, I was like this, Frank just talking, and suddenly I felt it in my mouth. I'm like, where is that? Or it's floating around in my mouth.
What kind of dentist do you have? Doesn't he know how to cement a crown in there?
It's like a 10-year-old crown. I guess it just came out, right? So I was first guy in there at 8 in the morning yesterday, and they said, yeah, we got a quick weekend. And it took them 15 minutes. It was great. 15 minutes, they got it sealed.
15 minutes, $1,500, and you're out of there.
It's like my body's all put together by Lego and glue anyway. So
mine is too. That Glenn Levitt helps lubricate.
So anyway, you have to go to the dentist for what? A crown?
Yeah,
crown.
A crown. Okay. Redo a crown. Yep. Yeah, today. Yeah. But that's it. And then Thursday, I'm playing golf Thursday at our club, Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, which is an invited club.
Yes,
which
it is
our sponsor, by the way. Not Bluegrass, but invited, all the clubs. So go to invited.com, folks, and check it out, because you cannot go wrong with invited clubs.
Yeah. Clubs all over the country.
Absolutely. And I'm using my PXGs. So there you go.
Oh, good for you.
Have you hit those left dash Pro View 1Xs?
No, I haven't yet. I just got them. I'm going to hit them this. I leave tomorrow for Florida Keys. And so
that's right. You're going.
Don't tell anybody, because people will follow me.
I know they will. Don't say
the crowds, the paparazzi will be in the bushes.
I'll send something to your room.
It gets ugly.
I'll send you a surprise.
Would you do that? Yeah,
Bottle of Cristal and some lobster.
Can only wait. But I'm going to take my Pro V left dash with me and see if it makes a difference.
Well, I'll tell you, I was playing the PXG club balls against the left dash Pro V 1X, and there's not a dime's worth of difference in those two balls together. I did a Pro V 1X, the left dash Pro V 1X, and the PXG ball, the new PXG ball. And I like that PXG ball. I really do. I thought nobody would take me away from that left dash Pro V 1X. But
no offense to you or me, but do you think we have the ability to really tell from that level ball? I'm not saying hard pinnacle to a Pro V 1 or whatever. Do you think you can tell the difference between?
I do. I really do. Seriously.
Chrome soft, I mean, in blindfold, I'm saying, without knowing what's a chrome soft and a Pro V 1 or Pro V 1 left dash and a Pro V regular, you think you could tell the difference?
I could. I've had somebody confront me about that because I'm so picky about my golf ball. Yeah. But I can feel, you have to hit a decent shot. I mean, if you shank a few, you can't tell the difference in that and a rock. But I can. I really can, believe it or not. And,
And the PXG is a good ball.
It is. Like, it's a great golf ball.
$10 a dozen less or something, right?
$39.95 a dozen. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, golf balls are
buy three dozen or two dozen. Three dozen, I think, free shipping, something like that. So, great product. And PXG is doing well. They've retooled their stores, and they're now closed on Sunday and Monday. But they're open 5 days a week. So if you're in a city that has a PXG store, go check it out, folks. They're really neat. Great apparel, too. I love the looks of their stuff.
Yeah.
So and they'll be we'll be doing some stuff at the Masters, hopefully with PXG there.
Nice.
The truck will be there. I'll be in that truck. Hey guys, fix me up a 3 hybrid, would you?
you're gonna show up with extra large pants, so seriously, you can shove a couple of putters down your left leg or something. Yeah.
No, they're new drivers.
Frank, you didn't have a limp when you came in. I don't know what happened to you. Really? I'm fine.
All of them start falling out as I'm going down the stairs.
Yeah, you run down the stairs, clunk,
leaving Tiffany or leaving the Rolex store with Rolex that's falling out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so PXG's great stuff. But anyway, it's gonna be a great week. Painting the picture of the tournament of the week, Valspar, they've got a lot of big players in this tournament this week. A lot of top 50 players in this tournament. Well, so
as I said, they got Spieth goes and plays because he won kind of like he did.
Yeah,
he's won every tournament, I guess. But so he's going back. JT, I guess, are the biggest players that they have. And Spieth had a good tournament and had a decent final round. He's still having a hard time putting four good rounds together to win a tournament. He's got two in him, but he doesn't have four.
What about Justin Thomas? Whew.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Justin's very hot and cold, too. And I think he kind of goes with his emotions, right?
He does. He's very emotional, yeah.
gets kind of mad and angry, and that affects the way he plays.
Once you do that, it's over for you, folks. Once you get mad.
Yeah.
None of us are good enough to get that mad. We just aren't.
Yeah, yeah.
None of us.
Sam Ryder will also be playing. That's my son's best, my son's girlfriend's brother's best friend.
But my daughter works for Ryder, and that, you know, so there you go.
Oh, that's close. Close enough.
Well, no, he is the spokesperson for Ryder.
He is for Ryder Truck.
Yeah, Sam Ryder is for Ryder Truck. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's a good one.
My daughter's in HR for them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it should be a good tournament and worth watching.
It's a great resort. Innisbrook is a fabulous place, and Copperhead's a tough golf course. It used to be ranked the number one course in Florida year after year after year.
Is that right?
So yeah, it's still right up there. I mean, of course, you got TPC Sawgrass and some others. They don't rank Seminole and some of those, of course.
Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood. You got some European guys are be playing. So yeah, should be.
Fleetwood had a great tournament at the Players. He played well.
He did, and so did
my boy, Max Homa. I picked him. Of course, you picked Scheffler. You win. But Homa, you know, got 17, and okay, here we go. And that's what Brandel did say that, and to reiterate what Steve said, Brandel did say on the air that hole comes too late in the tournament for you to recover. Well, that's the point.
That is kind of the point.
That's the point, right. You know.
It makes you have to hit that shot or you don't win it, and I think that's the drama. Certainly, Dye was looking for, and the players look for is you shouldn't have to cruise down the. You should be able to have to really earn it in the last few holes, and again, 18 is no piece of cake.
Well, 18's brutal. If you've
all
never
they see
played
is that
it,
water on the left. Remember a couple years ago when DeChambeau practiced and worked on hitting across that on 18 across the water.
Yeah,
he was trying in practice. He was blasting it. I don't know what it is over there, Frank. Is it just an empty area? Nothing there.
On the other side?
On the other side of the water on 18.
Yeah, there's nothing over there, but they made that OB. They made that OB after they saw him doing that.
Right, but he was trying to do that, thinking, well, that way I can
take the water out
as far as I want. And the water's no issue because I don't have to worry about the fine line of playing against. So I just kill it over the water, and they figured out a way
they fixed him on that. That's a tough hole. That is a very, very tough hole because if you go in the water, you start out over the water. So now you're just re-teeing. You're not really dropping out there in most cases.
Yeah.
Unless you hit the fairway and bounce into the water.
Well, it's almost, but it's what I kind of think, and I don't know, it's different, I guess, but it's somewhat similar to the layout at 18 at Pebble Beach, right? With
all
the left. A lot of guys cut it over the water, right? They think, okay, I'm going to hit over the problem. That was Nicklaus's.
Well, you got the sea breeze coming in, though.
He always hits at the problem, and that way the ball goes away from the problem. And yeah, I guess you got a breeze coming in. But a lot of guys hit a cut shot over there, and they end up by that big tree in the middle of fairway or even farther right, but they're safe. You never see anybody really try to take it out over that water, even Scheffler and the guys that hit big cuts. Well, don't even try that.
Because the wind in March comes directly out of the north or northeast.
Which is
so that wind is coming down the fairway in your face
fairway,
and kind of across it a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you've got a wind blowing into you, and if you draw it, it's gone. I mean, it's gone. Yeah. So you've got to aim at the pine straw or that tree if you're going to draw it with a 3-wood, and hopefully, you know, it lands on the right side of the fairway and doesn't run all the way across and hit the bulkhead and jump in.
Well, and
there's no way to go down the left side with that wind. There's no way.
And if you're have the lead that Scotty had, then it's not even a problem.
I'd use a putter all the way down the fairway.
Well, that's what somebody was saying. You could hit 9-iron 3 times.
Yeah.
Right off the tee, hit a 9-iron, hit another 9-iron, and be 140 out, hit another 9-iron, you're on in 3.
Yeah.
When Scotty had a 5-shot lead, it was like, I can do anything I want.
Why not?
They can hit out of the trouble. That's what, again, there's a lot of differences with us and the pros, but they hit such great trouble shots, right? They're on the on the pine needles, and they have a little wind.
They hit the ball first.
They can hit it so cleanly, and I don't have that shot. I always hit it too high. I have a hard time keeping a ball 5 feet off the ground and getting it to go further than 100 yards, right? I mean, that low driving shot that those guys all hit.
Your hands are too far back. Put your hands more forward.
I've tried a lot of things. I'm sure I can figure out how to do it, but I just can't.
I know.
Every time I do it, nobody really has 2-irons anymore, so I guess you can hit a 3-wood or something. Or
I've got,
you
know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Most people don't hit. Most people don't hit.
Sorry.
You know, but a 5-iron is their lowest iron sometimes now. So
a lot of times, yeah. Well, not the pros. The pros have a 3 in there.
That's what I'm saying. They've got a club that probably can keep it 5 feet off the ground.
PXG sent me a new set, another set with 3-iron, 4-iron in it, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to hit it. Okay,
that won't have a mark on it.
Well, you know what? When I was playing good in the old days. I used to carry a Ping 1 iron in my bag on certain courses, okay?
Yeah.
And I could tag that 1 iron. I mean, I could just tag it.
But, like a 2x4.
I mean, yeah, it's like hitting with a 2x4. You're right.
They got it at Colonial. They have a set of Hogan's old clubs, and they've got a whole Hogan room, and part of it is his clubs, right, his set. And he has a Hogan, his own clubs, had a Hogan 1 iron in there. And you look at it, and that, and of course, that was from, you know, 1952 or whenever it was made. That face on that, Frank, is seriously the size of a silver dollar.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's tiny.
The smallest little golf club you've ever seen in your life is a Hogan 1 iron. I was like, but you know, if you're Hogan, I guess you can hit dead center every time.
I can't wait to get out there with you guys and go to Colonial. I have never in all my years been to Colonial Country Club. So
yeah, cool place.
I can't wait to get out there and do that. And of course, we have the invited tournament coming up too in a few weeks out there.
Yep, the invited sponsored. It's a pro-am, meaning, and it's the PGA Tour champions.
So yeah,
it's the senior guys, all the fun-loving guys, and then it's the Emmitt Smiths and Tony Romos and celebrities and
Patrick Mahomes going to play there since he's going to live there.
I think Mahomes might be playing in it.
You think he's getting ready to be the quarterback for Dallas after he leaves Kansas City? Is that why he's trying to get a house?
There's like way too many people would love to have that happen, but yeah, I don't think he's not leaving Kansas City. He's actually put nobody cares about this, but Whataburger is kind of a big thing in Texas, right? It's kind of a whatever. If you're in California, it's In-N-Out Burger. Everybody's got their different kind of regional, and here it's Whataburger starting.
Nashville, it's Hot Chicken.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it is. Hot Chicken. Yeah.
He started a franchise of Whataburgers in Kansas City because he loved them in Tyler when he grew up in Tyler. And so now they've got the first Whataburgers, and he's a smart guy. He's probably going to have, he'll make $1 billion just in Whataburger franchises.
Whataburgers are good. They're good.
They're good. They are good.
They're really
good.
In-N-Out Burger. I love In-N-Out Burgers. Our good friend Laura, we're rambling here, but Laura Bryna, who, if you haven't seen her, check her out. Laura Bryna, B-R-Y-N-A, out there. Great singer. She's part of our team. And every time I'm out in L.A., I used to stay up at her house up on Mount Olympus. And we'd hang out, Roger Sarche, her manager and I. And we would go to In-N-Out and after the night and bring it home. And she would get up at 2 or 3 in the morning and take the garbage and take it out. It smelled so bad.
Too many onions.
Yeah, exactly. But it was so good. They're so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. We probably need to get out of here, don't you? We're rambling.
So.
Yeah.
I think we're done. Done.
I think so.
Again, as we mentioned, check out invited.com if you want to check out a golf course. Possibly put your toe in the water about being a member and you want to see what they're all about, go to invited.com and put your address in there, your zip code, and they'll show you the courses around you and you can set up a tee time and check them out. Get privileges all over the country at invited.com. Thank you to Steve Johnson, new director of instruction at Vaquero Club in Westlake. Thank you, Steve Johnson, for being with us. And thanks to all of you as well. So for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate it. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.